The Supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained, and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, dear Muslims all around the world, Salaamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today's topic is about Arba'een procession.
Karbala.
To go to the land of miracles, yearning to go, no matter how difficult, Karbala.
Today, Tuesday, is the 21st of Safar 1443. of the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of May, 1400 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Today we listen to verses 15 to 20 of Surah Fajr from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَا ابْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمَنِ.
And as for man, when his Lord tries him and thus is generous to him and favors him, he says, "My Lord has honored me."
وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا.
But when he tries him and restricts his provision, he says, "My Lord has humiliated me."
كَلَّا بَلْ لَا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ.
No, but you do not honor the orphan.
وَلَا تَحَاضُّونَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ.
And you do not encourage one another to feed the poor.
وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُّرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمَّا.
And you consume inheritance, devouring it altogether.
وتحبون المال حبا جما.
And you love wealth with immense love.
لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
These verses warn that neither the blessing is the reason for the proximity to Allah, nor is adversity and the lack of blessings the evidence of being far from Him. They are but diverse factors by which Allah, according to His wisdom, examines people. It is the human being who sometimes becomes proud and sometimes hopeless because of his limited capacity to understand and endure.
I swear from my birth to my grave, and swear by God's creation, I was made only a slave, for the ship of salvation. For the one whose blood fell like rain, why should my blood not fall too? I'll raise my sword and shout Hussein, for you my vow I'll renew. I'll beat my chest, I'll never rest, all of my life I'd sacrifice. Your name beats in my heart, the truth so clear, even though we're apart, you're always near.
The world's largest annual pilgrimage is not one of the celebration, nor is it a gathering of happiness. Attracting record numbers year after year, the world's largest annual gathering is known as Arba'in, literally meaning 40. Arba'in marks the 40-day mourning period of Imam al-Hussein after he was killed on Ashura in Karbala in Iraq. The 40th day marks the time his family and his head returned to Karbala, where his head was properly buried alongside his body. For nearly 30 years under Saddam's regime, it was forbidden to mark Arba'in publicly in Iraq. To Shia Muslims and even some Sunnis, Christians, Jews, and Zoroastrians, the pilgrimage of Arba'in was and is a dream that can finally be fulfilled.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the Arba'in of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Now we find that in history, we find that tyrants and despotic rulers intended to wipe out the memory of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam from history. In order to do this, they did many things, and they embarked on many conspiracies in order to wipe out the memory of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. For example, in the time of al-Mutawakkil, he ordered the tomb of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam to be leveled. However, we find that throughout history, the remaining name was the name of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, such that nobody knows the graves of the opponents of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. But not only Muslims, but also non-Muslims, long for making pilgrimage, performing pilgrimage to the tomb and the shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and his matchless companions. Now we find that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam intended to revive the Islamic religion, as he indicated it in the beginning of his unique movement that he initiated from Medina. Another indication in this regard is that it's asserted in the Arba'in Ziyarat text that وَمَنَحَ النُّصْحَ وَبَذَلَ مُحْجَتَهُ فِيكِ لِيَسْتَنْقِذَ عِبَادَكَ مِنَ الْجَهَالَ وَحَيْرَةَ الضَّلَالَةِ. In this regard, we find that Imam al-Hussein, it's asserted in the Arba'in Ziyarat text that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam did his best. He gave advice and he sacrificed his lifeblood in order to rescue people from ignorance and from perplexity. It means that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam intended to direct all people to the right path, including his enemies. And for this purpose, and to this end, it was to this end that he sacrificed his lifeblood and achieved martyrdom.
Walking to Karbala. From Najaf to Karbala, walking to Karbala. From Najaf to Karbala, I'll give my life and soul just to get to Karbala.
Arba'in World March, focal point of Shia world's cultural diplomacy. In this part of today's special, we'll look at the imperialism's strategy to control Shiism. One of the main strategies of the world imperialism to control Shia is preventing the development of ties between Shia's center, Iran, and Iraq, and spreading Iranophobia and Islamophobia. Some of the attempts made to that end are as follows. Attempts to alienate Iraq from Iran through openly expressing concern over Iraq's getting closer to Iran, making attempts to deploy military forces to Iraq again, spreading fear among Iraqi Sunni about closeness between the Shia of Iran and Iraq, provoking the Arab and non-Arab issues, making attempts to split up Iraq, spreading propaganda against Islamic Iran on every occasion and by any means, including cultural and other fields.
Oh Allah, I can't live without Hussein. How can I not see Bayn al-Haramain? My whole life just only has one aim, to be beside the one that was slain. Allahu Akbar, ya Karbala.
Arba'in and resisting oppression. The Arba'in walk indeed is a symbolic demonstration of the social message that Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, has taught all of humankind, irrespective of their religion, belief, or nationality. Through his martyrdom, Imam al-Hussein showed us that we should always stand against the oppressors of our times and not with them, and should not remain silent in the face of injustice and oppression. Therefore, despite the passing of many centuries, people from all around the globe attend the annual Walk of Arba'een to honor and revitalize his everlasting message of peacefulness, truthfulness, and social justice.
Imam al-Hussein al-Islam gave us everything. Therefore, we go there to thank him. That's the first reason why we are recommended to go for ziyarah. The second reason why we go and we visit the shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is to remember the values that he sacrificed for. When you examine Karbala, you find that it represents every good virtue. Every goodness was found in Karbala. The virtue of generosity, honesty, sacrifice, humbleness, reliance on Allah, faith, patience, all of these virtues are embodied in Karbala. And when you go to visit the Imam alayhi salam, you are reminding yourself that these are the values of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I am renewing my allegiance with my Imam to revive his values, to keep his values alive. And make no mistake that the ziyarah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam played a significant role in keeping the values of justice alive. And we have to remember that as pilgrims to the shrine of the Imam, we always keep his values ahead of us. And we make a commitment with the Imam to carry those values.
Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Thank you for joining us till this moment, the end of today's special from IRIB English Radio. May Allah increase our rewards of our mourning for Imam al-Hussein and let us be one of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us reflect upon what Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, told a person who said, "Favors are worthless if they are done to other than those who seem to deserve." No, this is inaccurate. Favors should be like the heavy rain that covers both the pious and the sinful.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another program of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Imam Ridha alayhi salam, you know, there are many traditions from the Imam alayhi salam, especially regarding Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, in terms of emphasizing the crying, the rewards of the crying. We mentioned one previously where the Imam says, you know, if you wish to cry over anything, you should cry over Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And most probably in a few more, you know, programs down the line, there's another one, again, speaking to the companion Shabib, that we would hopefully like to mention. But in this one, the Imam alayhi salam speaks about one of the results and one of those kind of benefits that a person can get from weeping over Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Now, as we know from previous traditions, that the weeping of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam in and of itself has benefit. Yes, obviously, it must be understood that there is a gradation and a kind of level between the tears of one person and the next. But does it mean that, you know, the first person will not get the same rewards as the second? No, it may be deeper. Or the person might find more ma'rifat and more understanding of the reason why they are crying because of the depth of their tears. The sins and the forgiveness of sins, as the Imam says, is just a secondary thing. That is not important to this person. What is important to this person is the tears and the closeness and the understanding of those tears in respect to the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is important. To the mission of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. To implementing those teachings of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam in one's life. This is what the tears should lead to. It should not just, you know, be a habit, that we do, which is unfortunately something that most of us do. Do we cry because out of habit? So in this tradition, Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam says that those who weep should weep over the likes of Hussein alayhi salam. So if you want to weep, again, just like the tradition that the Imam says to the son of Shabib, very similar. That if you wish to weep, you should weep over the likes of Hussein alayhi salam. For surely, indeed, weeping over him, that is Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, removes and does away with one's great sins. Not just sins, great sins. And again, there's no condition here of the type of weeping, the type of crying. If you are crying for the sake of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, according to this tradition, the great sins that we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by means of those tears for one of his most beloved creation, will be erased from our book of deeds. Or rather, they will be covered and not be seen on the day of judgment by those who will be looking for them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for the sake of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and to grant us opportunity to go for the ziyarah of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in the very near future. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu Alaikum, brother.
Alaykum as-salam, Brother Mahdi, and as-salamu alaykum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. In the first part of today's program, we all are going to listen to the recitation of verses 1 to 4 of Surah At-Tariq, recited by Sheikh Abdul Warith Abdul Aziz, the Egyptian reciter.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. والسماء والطارق
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Al-Tariq from the very beginning to the end of verse 4, recited by Sheikh Abdul Warith Abdul Aziz. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This was a very beautiful recitation by the Egyptian reciter Abdul Warith Abdul Aziz. He recited the first four verses of Surah Al-Tariq in three riwayat, Hafs, Warsh, and also Khalaf on Hamza. Now, there are some differences. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ وَمَا أَدَرَاكَ. In Hafs, the Ra is pronounced with Tafkhim. وَمَا أَدَرَاكَ. And also the مَتُّ الْمُنْفَصِلِ in the second verse could be lengthened to just two vowel counts, 2, 4, or 5. But in Warsh and Hamza, Khalaf and Hamza, you're only allowed to lengthen it to six vowel counts. This is one difference. Now the difference between Warsh and Hafs is that in Warsh it's Wama Adareka Adareka. The Ra is pronounced with Taqalil, which is Imalatu Sughra. And as a result, the Ra becomes Muraqqaq.
Yes.
It's pronounced with Adareka. So it's 75% Aliful Mad and 25% Yaw. Adareka. And in Warsh, the fourth verse, إِن كُلُّ نَفْسٍ لَمَّ عَلَيْهَا حَافِظ, is pronounced like this, لَمَا عَلَيْهَا حَافِظ, without the shadda of the mean. إِن كُلُّ نَفْسٍ لَمَا عَلَيْهَا حَافِظ, while in Hafs and Khalaf, it's pronounced
لَمَّا,
with the غُنَّة also. Another difference between... Now let's talk about the Khalaf and Hamza, the differences between Khalaf and the other two riwayas. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ وَمَا أَدَرِيكَ. We had sekt after the long vowel.
You're talking about the pause.
This is the pause without taking a breath, which is optional whenever there's a long vowel followed by a Hamza. If there is a saken letter followed by hamza, it's mandatory to do the sect.
But example,
wal ardi dhati sada, for example, wal ardi dhati sada. And also we had imalatul kubra, or just imala, for adareka instead of adareka, which was in warsh. Adareka.
It's closer to kasra.
It's 50
closer to
no,
actually
it's not closer. No.
Ya ul mad.
It's 50-50.
No. Comparing to
no, yes,
imalatul
taqlid,
imalatul
yeah.
sughra,
it's closer to the ya ul mad. Exactly. It's 50-50. 50% alful mad, 50% ya ul mad. And we also have, of course, the shared rules of tajweed. For example, we have a tariq. We have the ta with tafkhim.
With the highest level.
Highest
actually.
Level of tafkhim. Wassamai wa tari riqi. For all of them, we have tarqiq of ra. An-najim. An-najimu thaqib. We have qalqala.
The letter
for
jim.
All of them, the jim, which is sakin, and najimu thaqib. While pronouncing the jim, you should not trap the sound of jim in its place of articulation. You should allow it to bounce back. And najimu thaqib.
And the letters of qarqala are qutubi jad.
Qutubi jad, qaf, ta, ba, jim, and dal. Now, in verse 4, we have ikhfa of nun sakina. In kullu nafsin lamma alayha.
Again, it's in common in all three riwayats.
Yeah, all three riwayats have ikhfa. But there's two ways of applying ikhfa whenever there's kaf after nun sakina.
As well as qaf.
And also qaf, yeah. You could either do the normal way of doing ikhfa, which is approximating the place of articulation of kaf, meaning inclining the articulator to the place of articulation of kaf. In kullu. Instead of saying in kullu, we say in kullu. And this is what the reciter did for all three riwayats. For all three riwayats. He did the inclination. He did not place the tongue in the place of articulation of kaf.
Could you talk about the three stages, please?
Yes, the three stages of ikhfa, which is all of them happen at the same time.
At the same
though.
Time, yeah.
You have to do approximation of the place of articulation of the letter of ikhfa, the letter after the nun sakina.
Yes.
Okay. You have to apply ghunna for two vowel counts.
Which is basically an oronasal sound.
Yeah.
And
the last stage is pronouncing the letter of ikhfa. In kullu, if you do the way that this reciter, inclination, yeah. In kullu, it will be a complete nasalization. When we do ikhfa, the normal way, the sound is both nasal and oral.
Yeah.
But if you do for kaf and qaf, if you completely block the place of actually the oral cavity and you place the tongue in the place of articulation of kaf or qaf, we would have a full nasalization.
Which
in
should be lengthened to
two vowel counts. Yeah, for all of them.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad.
And of course, excuse me, we forgot. We made a mistake about the stages. The very first stage is getting rid of the nun sakina, the place of articulation of nun sakina, and then we have the inclination and the nasalization.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali, talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
We've been discussing some hadith about the significance of the Quran. Another hadith is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and that is hadith number 2. الحافظ للقرآن العامل به. The one who memorizes the Quran, or the one who preserves the Quran and acts upon it, العامل means the one who acts به upon the Quran. مع السفرة الكرام البررة. He would be with the angels who are honored and are very good. They are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahl in Arabic comes from Ala Ya'ulu. Ala Ya'ulu. Al, you have heard Al. Al and Ahl are very similar. The people who are family of a person, they are called Ahl or Al of that person because they do Aul. Ala Ya'ulu means return, Ruju'. Ala Ya'ulu means to return. Your family always come to you. Yeah? If they go out, again they come back to you. They go to a school, to, I don't know, office, outside, shopping, park, they come back to you. Yeah? But your friends, they visit you, they leave you. They don't come back to you, maybe after some time they come back to you, maybe they never come back to you. But family of a person are the people who always stay with him, and if they go out, they come back to him. Okay? This is why Arabs call family Ahl or Ad. So Ahlul Quran are the people that their main station is with the Quran. Okay? If they go somewhere else, if they go out to do something, then they finish and come back to the Quran. Okay? This is your main station. It's not that the Quran is something that for them is a stranger or a friend that every 6 months, you know, they visit. They live with the Quran. They are people of the Quran. Okay? So they are people who are acquainted with the Quran and have close and constant relation with the Quran.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab, Call of Islam, on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منام سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
When your horse returns to our camp riderless,
أزور سيدي ومعتمدي ورجاي.
The ocean of dua.
الإمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة مني ونيابة عن والدي.
I did you leave us to fend for ourselves, Hussein, Hussein, the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of زيارة إمام الحسين عليه السلام، زيارة العاشوراء. So stay with us.
برئت إلى الله وإليه.
من أشياعهم وأتباعهم وأوليائهم يا أبا عبد الله إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة.
Brothers and sisters, regarding this part of the ziyarah, بَرِئْتُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَإِلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُمْ وَمِنْ أَشْيَاعِهِمْ وَأَتْبَاعِهِمْ وَأُولِيَائِهِمْ. In the previous program, we mentioned how important it is to have a refuge and shelter in our journey towards perfection. The verse reads, "In my recourse to Allah and to you, I dissociate myself from them, from their supporters, their followers, and their friends." Some scholars say that in the same proportion that the love of the Ahlul Bayt السلام, can make one reach the All-Beloved, expressing hatred against their enemies can also make one reach God. The human being must have both together. And this is the reality of بَرِئْتُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. This is the meaning of detachment and distancing yourself from the ones who laid the foundation of wrongdoing against the Ahl al-Bayt. Allama Murtada Mutahhari, in his commentary of the Holy Quran, says, "Islam is a religion of tawalli and tabarri, a religion of negation and affirmation together, a religion whose very negation precedes its affirmation, and in the expression of the scholars of ethics, takhliya, or emptying spiritual impurities from yourself, precedes tahliya, or self-beautification with excellent characteristics." And it is really important to note that this tawalli and tabarri, this negation or affirmation, is really important, and we must say that it is one of the most important and influential steps in the purification of the soul, in the spiritual wayfaring to Almighty Allah. In a very beautiful tradition, Imam Baqir alayhi salam clearly reveals the effect of tawalli and tabarri on those who wish to remove the veils that separate them from Allah. He is reported to have said, "من سره ألا يكون بينه وبين الله حجاب حتى ينظر إلى الله وينظر الله إليه." Whosoever likes to have no veil between him and Allah, such that he looks at Allah and Allah looks at him, فَلْيَتَوَلَّ آلَ مُحَمَّدٍ وَيَتَبَرَّ مِنْ عَدُوِّهِمْ. He must express his love for the progeny of Muhammad and express his detachment from their enemies. وَيَأْتَمَّ بِالْإِمَامِ مِنْهُمْ, and follow an imam from them. فَإِنَّهُ إِذَا كَانَ كَذَلِكَ نَظَرَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ وَنَظَرَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. For indeed, if this happens, Allah will look at him, and he will look at Allah.
When people ask, "I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right," go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, "I'm confused," say, "Please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion." You will see it completely exemplifies. It clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is: do not allow tyranny. Do not allow evil doing. Do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah. He appreciates him. He understands his dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their
Their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we're talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Brothers and sisters, since this tradition has numerous allusions worthy of contemplation, we will dedicate the rest of this program for explaining this part of the tradition. The phrase "hatta yanzur Allahu ilayh," such that Allah looks at him, should not make us think that Allah cannot see us before we practice tawalli and tabar. Almighty Allah has absolute knowledge of every element of every being. But we should note that the Holy Prophet is reported to have stated, وَمَن نَظَرَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ لَمْ يُعَذِّبْهُ أَبَدًا. This is the meaning of Almighty Allah looking at someone, and Almighty Allah will never punish the one whom he looks at. So this is the true meaning of the looking of the Almighty. The second point regarding this tradition is the importance of having no veils between the person and the Almighty Allah. The scholars indeed appreciate how profound and important this phrase is, أَلَّا يَكُونَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابًا. Other traditions that speak of the same subject have this kind of sentence in them, أَنْ يَنْظُرَ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ حِجَابًا, so that the person can look at Allah without a veil. Some believe that the servant looking at Almighty Allah alludes to the state of ultimate gnosis, or complete recognition and knowledge of the Almighty Allah. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام میگذاره همه این ارزش ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali عليه الصلاة والسلام, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
Universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام لا تظنن بكلمة خرجت من أحد سوءا وأنت تجد لها في الخير محتملا.
Imam Ali said, "Do not regard an expression uttered by any person as evil if you can find it capable of bearing some good."